We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Taking some extra time on a busy night for him, our pal Jason Longshore, our 92.9 The Game Atlanta United analyst, joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jason, I know it was short notice, man, but appreciate you jumping on with us after the U.S. Open Cup game tonight. Thanks so much.
Yeah, anytime. It's a big win for Atlanta United tonight, moving on to the semifinals of the tournament for the first time.
So, I mean, this was a game where I think you and I can agree we knew they were going to have to work hard, but I even think that they probably had to work a lot harder than they bargained for, especially in the final 30 minutes before stoppage time. How would you grade Atlanta's effort tonight? Not just Atlanta's effort, but the kind of effort we saw from St. Louis as well.
Yeah, that's the Open Cup. And we see it across the world in these cup competitions. When you have a lower division team get to the stage, they get to the quarterfinals, they know on paper talent, it's not the same level. St. Louis has some players who have been around MLS before. They're a very veteran-laden team, but they know who they are, and they know they have an identity. And for St. Louis, they were one of two USL championship teams left. The other team, New Mexico United, was a very attack-minded team. St. Louis is the opposite. They want to sit back. They want to defend. They want to extend the match. They look for those set-piece opportunities. They've got size. They're physical. That's a tough matchup for Atlanta United. I thought St. Louis defended pretty well on the night. They struggled to create in the run of play, but they did have a series of set pieces, and especially very, very late, three corners in pretty quick succession that were defended very well. And if you think back to Chicago last week, corner kick defending was a big issue.
It certainly was. It really got that game, let that game against the Chicago Fire get away from them very early because of how not well those set pieces were defended. And you said it right away there, Jason. When I saw that there was a 5-4-1, I thought, oh my, this could look very similar to the game we saw on Sunday against the Red Bulls, where they would have trouble getting forward. But I think that Atlanta did better to maximize its opportunities. They got a lot more shots on target than I think they could have possibly expected, just because of the fact that it didn't seem like there was a lot of room to operate in the attacking third.
No, St. Louis definitely closed down the space. But one thing Atlanta did lineup-wise that was a little different, and I wondered if and when they would turn to this type of midfield, it was Darlington Nagbe sitting deeper. He was acting more as the defensive midfielder of the midfield three centrally. And it was Eric Rometty, who I love to see in that type of situation where he's very free to go push the game. He's kind of that spark plug in a lot of ways, the engine room of the midfield. But Emerson Heineman, in his first start, his first appearance with the team, he's a player that can play in the Nagbe role. He can play in the Rometty role, but he's also a player who's comfortable creating, and he was very involved in the attack. He's very involved first with a defensive play to take the ball away and then pick out Pitty Martinez quickly, and you get the goal from Pitty, who had drifted inside, who was in a free roll out wider. It's a different look. A lot of times lately we've seen Atlanta United play more of two holding midfielders and a playmaker, a 10 in front of them. With Heineman, Rometty, Nagbe, it's three central midfielders who are all talented and composed on the ball and can control the middle of the field very well and eventually start to break the opposition down.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United analyst here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United, a 2-0 victory over St. Louis FC in the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinals, advancing to the semis of that competition, which we'll talk about in a moment. I want to stop down on PT because he's had, I don't want to say a tumultuous week, but a week where his play has been called into question by a lot of fans and pundits across the game and across the sport. There was the rumor about his potential loan and transfer. How good do you got to feel for that guy getting off the schneid with an amazing individual effort to get the game's opener?
Yeah, what a finish. I mean, that's the type of talent that you get from Pitty Martinez. He makes it look so easy. at times. I think people look at him and say that he's not working hard enough. There's a thing that maybe it's because of what Miguel Almirón gave this team previously, wearing that number 10 shirt. And Miguel is a very two-way kind of player. Pithy's not. Pithy is a player who's special in the final third. And we talked about it on our Stoppage Time show today over on the 92.9 The Game Facebook page. There's a lot of similarities in the way that they play between Megan Rapinoe with the U.S. Women's National Team and Pithy Martinez. They're both so deadly in the final third. They're so good on the ball in the moments that you need them to be, that you're not asking them to do as much defensively. That's not what they're there for. The difference so far this season compared to what Rapinoe did in the World Cup is Rapinoe delivered, and Pithy hasn't delivered as much as you need him to do if you're going to be willing to sacrifice that defensive side of the game. If he plays like he did tonight, because he created four chances, he gets the goal, he was dangerous throughout. If he plays like that, you have other players in this team who will do that defensive work for him.
I know that a lot of the microscope was on Emerson Hyndman making his Atlanta United debut. We were promised an attacking midfielder type player. How were the returns, how advertised were they returns on his first game with United?
Pretty good in his first start since December of last year when he was on loan at Hibernian in Scotland. He's a player who I look at as maybe not necessarily just the number 10. I think he can play every central midfield role that you need in this team, because Frank DeBoer doesn't really play with an old school, you know, physical presence in the defensive midfield. He wants somebody who's comfortable on the ball. That's why Nagby gets slotted in there at times. Jeff Lorenowitz, when he plays, he's in that type of role. Rometty can drop in there. I think Hyndman can drop there as well, but he's most comfortable, it appears, as a box-to-box midfielder where you're getting some of the defensive side, but you want him on the ball in some dangerous spots. He's very technical. He's just very good with the ball at his feet. He's got a great composure in the match. Nothing seems too big for him. And he's a player who's played in kind of a hectic league like Scotland that can be very back and forth. And he's comfortable in a league like that, getting on the ball and showing his quality. In a league like Major League Soccer, I think he's going to have even more time on the ball, and he'll be a good fit in the system.
Atlanta United analyst Jason Longshore joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How much did that back four? It wasn't what I would call a makeshift back four, because you still had LGP back and you had Robinson in there. Breck Shea having to play the full 90 is something you probably can't do that often, but he was counted on that tonight. How much did that back four need this game, especially when you think about the fact they didn't concede?
Yeah, getting LGP back into the team, I mean, it feels a little different with him back there. He said something earlier this season that has stuck with me a lot. In the first 2 years with Atlanta United, it was Michael Parkhurst in that organizer kind of role, and LGP was a little more free just to play. Now, when it's LGP and Robinson, I think in translation, it was really funny that Gonzalez Pires called it the daddy role. He's kind of the organizer of that duo. And when he's not there, you see a difference. And you saw it at first on Sunday with Robinson and Pogba. Then Parkhurst comes in, and it's just a different chemistry altogether. With LGP and Robinson, they've been so good together this season. When you have that pairing, anything else, whatever you have on the outside, you can make it work.
A two-parter here on the way out, Jason. Number one, what do you envision for this semifinal with Orlando City FC? I know that it's a scintillating semi when you think about the fact that these two played a close one earlier this year. They'll have to play two in the same month in August. And obviously all eyes now on Sunday in Seattle, where, as we talked about earlier in this week, the odd balance continues for this group that needs this game on the road.
Yeah, let's start with the Seattle match. So Frank DeBoer said to media tonight after the match that everyone is available. As far as he knows, there's no injuries coming out of tonight. Everyone is available for Seattle. I wonder what kind of changes you might see. Does Julian Gressel come back into the starting lineup, for example? Do you see Joseph Martinez come off the bench? Maybe some tweaks, but the group you saw tonight in for terms of the 18, all of them are possible for Sunday, and it doesn't sound like he's really considering rotating at this point. You do have home matches against Houston and D.C. following that trip to Seattle. Open Cup, I mean, NYC, you would have potentially seen them twice in a week. which is always fun because it gets, you know, gets heated in those types of situations. But you get an Open Cup semifinal with Orlando. I believe the U.S. Soccer Federation is pretty happy with that one because these games, and I know people say it's not a rivalry because Orlando hasn't won it yet. Well, how much would they love to get their first win against Atlanta in an Open Cup semifinal? That's where you're at right now, and we'll find out where that game is going to be on the afternoon tomorrow. 2 o'clock is when the draw happens from the U.S. Soccer Federation. Could be in Atlanta, could be in Orlando, and you're two games away from lifting a trophy.
Yeah, I know the bad blood more exists with the Red Bulls on the pitch, but I know these two fan bases don't like each other, so they both want a piece, and it'll be very interesting to see here coming up next month. Jason Longshore, always great stuff. Thanks for staying up a little bit extra with us, and we appreciate all the good work out in Kennesaw.
Thanks for having me.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.